Now, Father, we receive this evening, we pray, insight and wisdom in your word. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for understanding. As our eyes behold Christ as he sees us in him, there is no error in the teaching. There is no error in the interpretation. There is accuracy in reception. And our understanding is flooded with light. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Last week we started the series New Testament Ministry. What's the title again? Something's mixed up somewhere. Ministering the Spirit. Because that's what you saw on the banner. All right, Ministering the Spirit. New Testament Ministry. Somewhere along the line, you get what the topic is. Now, I said this on Sunday. I think that must have been second service. That somehow, what I'm teaching, first service and second service on Wednesday, they're around the same area. And that's why thank you for that. That means you must make sure that you follow through. Because they're about the same things that I'm teaching. Different concepts, but the same thing. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, now the word gifts is italicized, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, pay attention here. So, the word gifts is italicized, but then we're going to slot it in very soon. So, he says concerning spirituals. Now, last week we said the word spirituals deals with different things. Remember? Pneumaticos, things of the Spirit. And every time you hear the in a sentence or in a letter, that implies that you look for what is the in the book. Alright, so spiritual will mean things of the Spirit of God. Because that's the subject that he taught in chapter 2. Things of the Spit of God. So it will be things of the Spirit of God. Now, if you observe, for example, he makes distinctions. We're going to see that. Things of the pneuma of God, the things of the... So he makes distinctions, or a distinction between verse 9, for example, from verse 9 to verse 11, he mentions 9 things. He mentions tongues, interpretation of tongues. He mentions prophecy. He mentions word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He mentions the discernment of spirits. He mentions gifts of faith. He mentions workings of miracles and then the gifts of healing. That's 9. Then verse 11 says, all these works, the one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, definitely, in discussing the things of the Spirit of God, he discusses variety of things. The Spirit of God. He mentions variety of things. And we are looking at those things. However, don't forget what we're looking at. The New Testament ministry. Now, by the time you were through, you're through in verse 9 to 11, you discover that whatever he discussed after will have the gifts in view. I'll tell you what I mean. Look at verse 4. Now, there are what? Diversities. The word diversity is the Greek word diaresis. D-I-A-R-E-S-I-S. Diaresis means one thing to now split it. Now, the one thing, just like a human being now, a human being has just one body, but the parts will be the diaresis of the body. So, one spirit, but different gifts in the spirit. And that's why I told you that if we're going to explain the word gifts, we'll say gifts of the Spirit. We'll call it what? Gifts in the Spirit. Because the gifts are, you don't separate the gifts from the Spirit. They are in the Spirit. So diaresis already means parts of one thing. Not that you are causing the thing into different parts, but parts of one thing. So it says there are diversities of gifts, alright? But the same Spirit. Now, don't forget, what Spirit are we discussing now? The Spirit of God. So, we said, pay attention to this, this is important. Verse 1, we said, the word gifts is italicized, but then, it's not wrongly placed. Because, if you remove verse 4, out of everything he taught, it doesn't make sense. If you say there are differences of administrations, verse 5, administrations of what? It doesn't make sense anymore. Then you say verse 6, there are diversity of operations. Operations of what? But the same Lord worketh, same God worketh all in all. So, you know, doesn't make sense. So, the key thing in that discussion will be the gifts. The gifts are primary in talking about the things of the Spirit. Now, watch this. Look at that verse 4. Alright? There are diversities of what? Huh? Gifts. Now, I don't know when you received Christ, but when I got saved, a gift looked more like a salary. It's a gift. They call salvation a gift. But you have to change your ways to be saved. So you wonder, what's in the gift? I know my parents used to give me gifts that look more like that. My dad would say, well, I promise to buy you this if you, that's not a gift, that's a reward. If you, so I'm chasing if I, many times you hardly do because by the time they set the standards for you, the gifts will be so beyond the giver. So I never really understood because I call people talking about tongues. Tongues is a gift. That's one if it's a gift. The moral reason why you should speak it. It's a gift. Don't you know it's a gift? You know, in their minds, there's a law dictating their thinking. And that's what we're dealing with here. There's a law. It's a gift. It's a gift. I thought if it's a gift, then you ought to what? Receive it. It's a gift. No, that means there's something in their minds. I told you, the Bible says, keep my commandments. How come what you thought meant do my command? Because somewhere in your mind, when you hear commandments, it is do. But if in a normal day you had keep, you look for an account, a bag, a wallet. But keep in the Bible for you means do. I don't think you're following what I'm saying here. So sometimes in reading scripture, there's a law at work in your members. Allow me to skin you. Because I've skinned myself before. There's a law at work in your members. Same way I told you on Sunday. Bible says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. And there's a law working in your mind that all of a sudden goes into a building. A building. Without thinking through that kind of house. Have a mansion in it. Oh. Mansion in the house. My Father's house, there are many mansions. No. My Father's house, there are many rooms. I guess if he, you know, if the King James had said many rooms, I don't think many of us were excited. Room. I don't know about you, I'm not so piqued about you giving me a room. But many mansions. There are many rooms. Well, I know religious guys who still say, well, my room is bigger than yours, something like that, you know. They will always come out with something. But truth is, there's a way you can read scripture because you have a mindset. Now, if you talk to a child who has not been exposed to TV ministries, you say, tongues is a gift. You say, wow, yippee. Am I right? But as you grow older, tongues is a gift. You say, I wish God can give me that gift. Because there's a law at work in your mind. That we're dealing with. New Testament ministry. Ministry of the Spirit. So, he says, now, there are diversities of gifts. Now, The word gift here, remember how he introduced the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. How did he introduce the Spirit? I'll just give you two places, then we'll come to 1 Corinthians 2. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1, 7, how that you come behind, look at it quickly, how that you come behind in no, in no what? Which is charisma, coming to that, in no gift. So you come behind in no gift. Now look at that, a whole church. He says a whole church is coming behind in no gift. A whole church. Now, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 says, we'll come to that, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. That's not too clear. But chapter 2, verse 9. Look at verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. Are you there? Quickly, let's read it together. Chapter 2, 9. Let's go. Huh? This looks like the upper room now. Not Solomon's temple. Okay, go, look at verse 9. But God, has revealed them, verse 10, unto us by His Spirit. Hold on. Has revealed what to us? The things that we're not seeing, which he had prepared for them that love him. You don't lose this one. As revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Go on. Yea, the deep things of God. For what? The things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. So then the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, go on. We have received, that's what we're going. We have what? 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 Sometimes you need to say that so often it dawns on you. I disciplined a guy one time in UI. I said, the only thing you must say throughout tonight is, I am a son of God. Say nothing else. Don't even say your name. Let it dawn on you. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm just give me a second. Take a stroll down. You go. Immoral. Come back. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Say that till it dawns on you. You see, you never go for any deliverance anymore. When you say that, when you say, well, boys, I'm a battle axe, you can go for deliverance. You know those big, big words. I'm an axe of the mighty God. You know that? And all those nicknames you give yourselves. But notice this. He says, but we have what? Received. Go on. Not the Spirit, but the Spirit which is that we might the things that are free what? Free what? Free what? Now just mark that. Freely given. Amen. Freely given unto us. So, two things we got to know about the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians 2. One, we know. Two, we have been given freely. So, if I'm now coming to you in chapter 12, like I said, I told you, if you take away chapters and verses from the Bible, we'll reduce error. Because you know, people will stop having revelation. You'll be forced to read everything. Because you know, it's not possible you can't just, when it has no comma. The Bible's, but you obey things like, but if, the Lord spoke to me in verse 4. Because you'll be forced to read everything. So, now, if you have known about the Spirit of God, you read the letter, and then chapter 2, or earlier on, you read about the Spirit of God, you have received the Spirit of God, that you may know the things that are freely given. Then you get to chapter 12, verse 1, and read, now, remove the chapters now, you know, but you get to that part, and you say, now concerning the things of the Spirit of God, What will be on your mind? The things that are freely given to us by the Spirit of God. You know, you don't have a problem. But, you know, but if you start reading from chapter 12, or somebody preaches one rhema for you, a guy says, men and brethren, what is a gift? A gift is a demonstration of the power of God that comes from the supernatural to natural. And you say, seven ways to get the gift. Number one, know it's a gift. Number two, look for it. Number three, you know, by the time you find that, and by the time you read chapter 12, you say, it's true. Now concerning. But if you had no background distortion in your mind, you'll have said, now concerning the things freely given to us in the Spirit of God, I will not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. You following that? So look at verse 4. Verse 4 now says, there are diversities of what? Gifts. Now gifts will be what? Freely given to us of who? Of God. Now, pay attention to that word. That word there is charisma. Charisma. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma is a word you will not find in the four Gospels. It's not in the four Gospels. You won't even find it in the book of Acts. You know why? Now, of course, the four Gospels, because the four Gospels do not tell us all the truth. But the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is sense knowledge. Things that you can see. Things that you can see and then you write about. But you see, charisma is indwelling. That's why it couldn't have been reported. Charisma. Let's go further. Let me rush it. Charisma is a word used, pay attention to this, it's vital, used 17 times. How does that call it? 17 times. Charisma. And out of the 17 times, this is very vital, the book of Romans, out of the 17 times, the book of Romans uses it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Like a third is used in the book of Romans. 6 times. Book of Romans. In fact, that term charisma is used only by Peter outside Paul in the entire Bible. Pay attention to this. So, let's understand what a charisma is. What is it? Now, because he uses charisma, because actually that word in 1 Corinthians 12:4 is charismata, plural. Okay? But it's charisma. You know, you have to know the charisma before you know the plural. Now, the first place you see it, Romans 1:11. Quickly go there. Romans 1:11. That I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. Some spiritual gift. Romans 1:11. Then Romans 5:15. Romans 5:15. Romans 5:15. You there? Let's do Romans 5:15 together. Romans 5:15. Can we respect each other? Like start together? Let's go. But not as the offense, so also is the what? What? Free gift. Okay. 5:16. As it is by one that sin, so it is the gift. No, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Romans 5:16. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Romans 6:23. And a lot of people like the first part. And I know why. For the wages of sin is death. Heard that in the buses? The wages of sin is death! Hey, Dumbo, read the part. You said the B part.
The wages of sin is death, baby! Baby!
Give me the microphone and scan.
Baby! wages of sin is death.
Stop crying. But the free gift of God. Hallelujah. It is here, the wages of God's love is death. So the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, my our Lord. So the Romans 11:29. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The gifts and the callings of God are without what? Repentance. How without repentance? Repentance means there's no change of mind. How many of you have ever had someone retrieve a gift from you before? I remember a fellow and a guy. Why is it? A guy and a lady, sorry. They were dating to marry. And so he bought her stuff. Stuff, a car, and stuff like that. And they'll go out, oh, I love you, I love you. Oh, you have the shiny armor. You know, those lovely things we say when we're dating. You know, we lie and God likes it. The only place you can lie and God says not a sin is to your wife. Just lie. So I say, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. Everybody knows a lie. She knows a lie. You know it's a lie. Everybody knows a lie, but it's not a sin. You're speaking by faith. So, but something now happened, and I think thunderstruck. And the guy took everything he bought. That is with repentance. Everything he took it. He said, put that mine. How? Show me the receipt. Guy goes home. So she's back to her old man. That's not a perfect salvation. The gifts and calling of God are without what? Repentance. Amen. The charisma of God is without repentance. Romans 12:6. Having then gifts, deferring gifts or free gifts. Now, the book of Romans is the largest, besides 1 Corinthians, is where you have the word charisma used the most in the Bible. We have to pay attention to why. Because if we need to realize or understand why it uses charisma. Look at it. He used charisma, first of all, for Paul's ministry to those in Rome. Then he used charisma again for the gift of Christ's death. Then righteousness. Then eternal life. Then charisma again. He uses charisma for God's calling of salvation. Then charisma again for the gifts deferred in the local church. Why does he use that so well? The Romans 1:16. Yeah, I just told you something. A guy gave a girl things, gave, but he could take it back. But it's, he gave, but he could take it back. So many things happen. God gave it. God take it. And they say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know what blessedness is for. Blessed be the Lord. God can never give you something that would destroy you. How can God, it was pretty prosperous, how can God give a 9-year-old boy, a limousine car. Now when you start talking like that, it shows your background. Well, you simply just get him a driver. Am I correct, someone? Say, no, God cannot, because he knows the car will kill him. No. God can kill him if he has a driver. Anyone who can get a limousine car can get your driver. Does God think like that? No, it's just like you. So, you need to realize what charisma is. He says, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Amen. Go on. And then also the Greek. Verse 17. For therein, hold on. Therein where? Therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Pay attention now. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, remember in Romans 5, we read that righteousness is a gift, is a charisma. So he's saying, in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. So, again, in the book of Romans. Now, the word righteousness, pay attention here now. This is good material for you. If you a preacher, you should be, everybody should be. The word righteousness occurs 92 times in New Testament Greek. 92 times. And in the 92 times, only the book of Romans has it 34 times. See that? The book of Romans has 34 times. So there is no way you can teach righteousness properly without understanding the book of Romans. 92 times. Now I think 34 is way above, just a little above one third, right? Now remember we read gifts? About a third. We now read righteousness also? About a third. So I think we should pay more attention to the book of Romans. Are you following what I'm saying here? Good. So, look at it. Therein is the righteousness of God. Now, the righteousness of God. God's righteousness. You know, you can preach that everybody's scared. God's righteousness. That's the way you say religion, you know. Righteousness. Are you sanctified? Yo, religion goes a lot of nonsense too. Are you sanctified? No, please put IED. That makes some sense, doesn't it? Well, come on. Alright. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, what about the word righteousness of God? Romans chapter 3. Righteousness of God. Romans 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. Romans 3:21. You following this? But now, let's take it together. Now, the righteousness of God without the law. Eh? How could it be without the law? Is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. I thought the righteousness of God meant, thou shalt not. When you come before the law, what are you wearing before the law? What are you looking like before the law? Are you holy? No. Are you satisfied? I'm not arguing with you. You get it? Without the law. Praise God. So, here he goes. He defines the righteousness of God without the law. Are you still there? Verse 22. Read that. Here. Let's say 22 now. Of God, which is by faith. So, one, there's the righteousness of God, it's without the law. Then, 22, it's by faith. Unto how many? Unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, people like verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, look at 25, let's go. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, in his blood, to declare his righteousness for what? That are passed through the forbearance of God. So, the righteousness of God is for what? Oh, don't look at that one. It's for taking away sin. I thought the righteousness of God is to point out sin. God is here now. Though when I was younger in the verses, so was a prophesy. We had these holy brethren that when they want to prophesy, everybody's quiet. Yes. There's one song we used to sing that. Holiness unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Holiness. I'm feeling that way actually. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Holiness. Unto Jesus. You see that? Brethren, I am here. That is, I have come. Never go. Because that means, I've come means, I'm about to tell you what you have done wrong. I've been watching you since last week. I have come now. But he says, the righteousness of God is for what? Hallelujah. Yeah, it's quite different from what we thought, right? Taking away sin. 26. So declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, woo, that he might be what? Just. What else? That means, his righteousness means he will justify him that believes in Jesus. Come on. I'm not talking to anybody here. Alright? What else? Romans 4:3. So, his righteousness is without the law, is by faith, it takes away sins, it justifies, praise God, everyone who believes. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Oh, come on, look at this. Romans 4:3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. How was Abraham called righteous? Because he believed. By faith. Romans 4:5. Romans 4:5 will take away every kind of doubt from false minds. Look at this. For to him, let's take that together. Romans 4:5, come on. But to him that walks not. Stop, come on, one more time, let's go. But to him that walks not, but believes on him. Hold on, look at that. That walks not, but what? Believes. That walks not, but believes. Go on. On him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So what is counted for righteousness there? Faith. Go on. Okay? Romans 4. Verse 6. Even as David describes what? The blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness. So, righteousness is by faith. Righteousness is without works. Without works. Romans 4. One more time. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 11. So, what? Let's, hold on. Before we go further, let's, no. Righteousness is without the law. Righteousness is without works. Amen? Now, what righteousness are we talking about here? The righteousness of God. Okay? Romans chapter 4:11. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Romans 4:11. It's by faith. Romans 4:13. But through the righteousness of faith. Romans 4:13. Romans 4:13. So, it's without law. It's without the law. It's by faith. It's for the ungodly. Hallelujah. So, righteousness is given to the ungodly. Righteousness is not the salary for clean up. Then you clean up, then you get righteousness. No. It's what you get when you've not cleaned up. Amen. It's a gift. Amen. Good. Romans 5, verse 17. So, we're learning that righteousness. Romans 5:17. Oh, I love this one. If by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive what? Abundance of grace and of what? You know, you won't have a problem with 5:17 if you have been reading chapter 3 and 4. Because we've already seen that 3 and 4 have already told us that, see, this has nothing to do with you, just has to do with faith. So 5:17 won't be a problem. So 5:17 is not just one rhema, fall through into the mix. Nope. He had already built his case. So righteousness is a gift. Is what? No. So what do you do to give? You what you receive. You receive. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:21. Has sin reigned unto death, even so my grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. So it reigns in eternal life. Now, Romans 6, I wrote through that. Romans 6:13. So it would be funny if somebody reads Romans 6 outside Romans 4 and 5. And say, Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin? A grace be about. Hey, read it. God forbid. You don't say God forbid, that means it's not possible. Praise God. Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So already, your members are what? Instruments of righteousness unto God. Alright, Romans 6:18. What are we? Let's say Romans 6:18 together. Let's go, come on. Let's go. Being made free from sin, you became, woo, glory. Glory to God. So we are servants of what? Righteousness. Because we're born again now. 6:16. 6:16 says, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, describing how we got saved. 6:19. 6:19 says, speak of my own man. He says, for as you have yielded your members, servants of righteousness, uncleanness, sorry, to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Romans 6:20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And we're no longer servants unto sin. Praise God. So, amen. So, Romans 8:10. If Christ be in you, glory to God. I love this one. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of what? Now what righteousness, the gift of righteousness, the righteousness by faith, the righteousness without the law, the righteousness apart from works. Hallelujah. Okay, good. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. 31. Israel which followed after the law of righteousness have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wow. That's interesting. They followed after it, they never got it. What's he talking about? Romans 10:3. I'll start from 1. Brethren, my prayer and desire and prayer to God for Israel, sometimes I feel like saying for the church, is that they might be saved. I didn't write it, so I don't have to change it. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They go to church every other day. They change their clothes. Romans 10. I bear them record of the zeal of God, but I can't know it. Some guys have zeal. Very zealous. Zealous. Now, Paul could feel their pulse because he was that zealous. Very zealous. Lenten season, they keep the 40 days. And the 40th day, they are released. Lenten season. Now, some of us grew out of religious settings. And we didn't like Jesus. I didn't like Jesus initially. Because Jesus was a punishment. For me. They take me to church from morning till afternoon. I'll be there. If I'm, someone now begins to prophesy. Because we grew up in a white garment church. Well, this day is no different. Just this is what supposed to wear a suit. You go, Macari, Gary, 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 Gary. Ooh, go, go. And that's how they turned, pointed me out. Me. I wanted me. What did I do for God? They had to stay inside for 7 days. What did I do for God? And I'm thinking, if I get Jesus, I plan that I'll grow up and join the army, join the coup, remove the government, and my first announcement, I ban all the churches in Nigeria. No mortal service. For the things that made me go through 7 days. So they were protecting me from evil. People say, read your Bible. Have you read your Bible? Have you read your Bible today? Read your Bible. For God so loved you. Can you imagine? You know, my mom will give me a knock. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It makes me lie down all my days. My dream punish everyone. Anything about my parents was, when they were going to lead their prayers, they would join us with them. All the sins we have seen. Talk about yourself. Say so we eat sin like food, we drink it like water. I said, not like that. You get it? So people can grow up and you don't bring your children up using God as a bait, as a training kit. You've not prayed? Pray! Why do you eat that food? You don't pray without food. How can you eat that? How can you eat without praying? Pray! My mother will take the food up and take it away! You know, the funny thing was, alright, let's go. Let me give you too much of history. You know, so they were having zeal. People go to church and they are not saved. According to knowledge. No. Look at 3. Verse 3 is so critical. Let's read verse 3 together. They being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, don't forget, what is God's righteousness? It is without works. It doesn't need your zeal. It's without works. God's righteousness is by faith. What do? They are ignorant. Now, that one is Agno Hill. Remember Agno Hill? Willful ignorance. They are willfully ignorant. Go on. Come on. Going about, that means they'll start churches, something like that. Write books. Going about, that's evangelism. To establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So we can have your own righteousness and God's own righteousness. Alright? Now, notice that. So there is man's righteousness. Pay attention now. What is man's righteousness? Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Alright? Verse 5. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. So, the righteousness of the law is the righteousness of man. Okay? The man that doeth those things shall live by them. So, the righteousness of the law means what you do. Okay? Now, look at verse 6. Let's take it together. But, everybody look up, verse 6, let's go. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. So, the righteousness of faith is different from the law's righteousness. Or that which is of the law. You must know that distinction. Let me say, anywhere you are teaching the subject of salvation, if you're a Bible teacher, make sure you explain this. Because what this study is about, this particular study, is that people mix things up. They'll bring things from the law. Alright? And then the things in the epistle, isn't it? Because they're both saying righteousness. Because they're both saying righteousness. But find out there's the righteousness which is of God or which is by faith. There's the one you're going to read in the Old Testament which is by works. And it looks good. So he says in verse 6, it speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, we shall bring Christ unto heaven. You know, bring that. No, let's go to verse 9. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's take verse 10 together. Come on, let's go. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth. So how do you become righteous? With the mouth. Come on. So you become righteous by your words. By what you believe in your heart. That you say with your mouth. Hallelujah. Lord, make me pure in heart. I love that song, man. Make my heart faithful and true. So when you look at me, it's your righteousness you see. Oh, Lord, make me pure in heart. And very lovely music. Bum, 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 bum. And, I've forgotten that song now. See the sound, see the sound. Very lovely sound. Lord, make me pure in heart. Make me. After how many years that Christ died? He has seen it look using so useless. And the thing is that a lot of Christians will have sung that song all over. So say, but why are you mentioning the song? Because you know it. Hallelujah. Look at that. So how do you become righteous? By faith. What's by faith? By speaking with your mouth. That you believe in your heart. That God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Anybody's got the gift of righteousness here? Let me see your hand. You've got the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. How do you get it? By faith. So when you're preaching to someone, and the guy, hold on, the guy just stabbed someone to death, it's very likely he goes to jail. Okay? You don't say, ah! This one is about blood. This one has blood in it. Who is the man who describes righteousness as blessed by faith? David, a murderer and an adulterer. These are two critical things. A murder. So say, the gift of righteousness. So Tommy say, yes, sir. The way I did my life. I said, she observed that I wasn't emotional. I was looking angry. So, what has happened? I look at him and I say, God, how can I ever? Sir, if you are not moved, say you are a proud person. Sir, am I proud too? You are proud. You've been given the gift of righteousness. That means that fellow has he committed murder. What do you offer him? The gift of righteousness. Perfect. Say, eh? Sir? No. You say, the sword that sinneth shall die. Shall die. The way Jesus said is there. But the gift of God to that man who has seen is righteousness, eternal life. Hallelujah. That's what you preach. You say, in the bus, good man, in the afternoon, good man, good man. I know you come from heaven, heaven, heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I bring the good news of Jesus Christ to you. Listen to the good news, though. You are here today. And you know your lie. You know this, you know that. How can that be good news? Look at, don't you understand English? Good news is not a reminder of what I am. Good news is what I have not heard before. Hallelujah. Righteousness is the gift. Praise God. Still out there? Watch this now. Romans 4:17. Righteousness
peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says this is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there is the, let me ask you a question. Is it possible today for someone to still practice the righteousness which is not of God? He can. He can. And that's why you find that those people who practice the law, they're always angry. They're always looking for enemies. They don't have sermons outside enemies. Somebody's hunting you. Do you know somebody's after you? Yes. In your village, there's a woman when you were in primary school. Sabia. They don't teach the love of God because the love of God will melt the heart of hatred. So they go after the law. They're always harsh. You know why they're harsh? Because they don't know the love of God. So they don't forgive others because they have not received God's forgiveness. So they're always harsh. Fall down and die. Die now. Everything in my father's household that is pursuing my life, die. Die, die. Know why? Because they are functioning under the law of sin and death. And that's how they used to speak there. So, they will speak with, the heart is bitter. The love of God is not there. Because it is bondage. Hallelujah. The epistles don't tell us to hunt human enemies. Are you there? So, there's this, the righteousness which is not of God. So Moses, oh come on, I can't teach Sunday sermon here. Moses offered everybody two things. I told you on Sunday. It's two. Say, if you like with your stupid head, pick this one. And they did. Moses, if he was fitting for the Israelites. He was. So charisma already shows it's a gift. It's something that you receive. Charisma is by faith. Charisma is not something you work for, just like we described righteousness. So listen carefully now. Everything that God gives, He gives in His righteousness. He gives in His righteousness. Pay attention here now. So, charisma says 17 times. Just 6 times in the book of Romans. 6 times. Almost 2/3. No, more than 2/3. So, more than 1/3, pardon me. In 1 Corinthians, you have it 7 times. 1 Corinthians, 7 times. I'll quickly run it down for you. 1 Corinthians 1:7, you come behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 1:7. You come behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 7:17, every man has his proper gift. Very controversial text, but let's leave that. 1 Corinthians 7:17. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, there are diverse of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:9, gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 12:28, gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 12:30, all have the gifts of healing. 12:28, gifts of healing. 12:30, do all have the gifts of healing. 12:31, covet earnestly the best gifts. 12:31. 2 Corinthians 1:11 as well. Then, in 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift which is in you. 1 Timothy 4:14. 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift. Then 1 Peter 4:10. We have all received a gift. Alright? 1 Peter 4:10. That's the only reference to charisma not used by Paul. So, charisma, pay attention now. It's in the righteousness of God. It's a result of righteousness by faith. Charisma is not in righteousness of the law. Because charisma means freely done, freely given. You can't get it freely if it's in the law. If you have to do 180 days. So I'm fasting for power. And oftentimes when people do those kind of things, their ministry becomes very harsh. Brutal. I remember I had to fast like that. So, Lord, I want your power. 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 So I began to fast for days. I told you about fasting. When those people fast for a long time without the word, they begin to see things. Heaven, hell. One angel will tell them, is there a book of life? One will say, no, I don't have the book of life, I have the textbook. And, because, no, if you know, when you have low sugar and your body begins to act somehow, you begin to see things. Has that happened to you before? This is you. Yeah. Brother, the time has come. The end time has come. Stop fasting. Say, brother. 90 days. You are not turning the word. You say, Lord, move me. You know, something will move you because... And now I'm not joking, really. You think I'm not joking, no? And then you go, brethren, I just came back from heaven. And God, I saw God in all His glory. When He began to open the books and they got to my own, brethren, only one page. You are a member of the, Pastor, one page. One page. He look at it and say, my own has not even gone for design. Because the man has, how fast does the Lord move? You know, I just opened the Bible. That was what stopped the fast. And I thought, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. But I had gone over 40 days. You know, the thing is, when you come out of that fasting, you'll be feeling like you have power because you are light. This is it. I have the power now. You get it? Hallelujah. So, people become very harsh. Do you think it's easy? Do you think it's easy to have the power of your life? Do you think it's easy? 7 steps. The why? Because he went to Mount Sinai. He went to Mount Sinai. So he will give you laws. It makes it difficult. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was preaching in the church in 95. And I took a dear sister with me. And that church believes in, before you get speaking tongues, you must go underwater. You must come out this class and all that. But I preached. So I called, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come out. And it was a zonal meeting, a zonal revival or something like that. And they were already, the pastor was wanting to come out like that. He came out. People now came out, all of them. I knew that lady, she had this great grace of God. She could lay hands on so many people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Then she wore trousers, she did not cover her hair. I did it purposely. So she came out, said, lay hands on them. So she began to lay hands. Pam, pam. They spoke out in tongues. Hello there. Spoke out in tongues. The pastor was already angry. Why is he angry? Why would somebody be angry? Because people are speaking in tongues. Why? There's a law of sin and death. Why is somebody angry? That forgiveness is a gift. Do you know why the person, why are you angry? This message that you are preaching. You are preaching this message. Why are you angry? Is the harshness of the righteousness of works. It's always harsh. You got healed in the meeting. In a minute, said, as you go, remember to keep your lives free from sin, or else I don't know what can happen to you. Why are you harsh? Somebody just got saved. Let's say God saved in your service. The next thing is, Father, in the prayer for salvation, the first day, may they not miss it. It's just like you get back to a child and say, may you not die. Ah! He just got born! Say, may they not miss it. Keep them, Lord. Write their name. And as the priest says, as you go, you have to realize that this race is difficult. Make sure that you keep your life holy. You know, they are just harsh. Very harsh. And difficult. It's just harsh. You know, imagine if you tell a child like this, say, what are you doing there? Don't you know this is the house of God? How do you want him to see God? This is the house of God. God will just turn you blind. Don't you know the presence of God is heavy there? Ah. So the presence of God does not like daycare.
come on, let's hear this. So the righteousness of God, if there's any disturbance, they will disturb you, not God. Hallelujah. Very good.
So, charisma. What does charisma mean? Charisma means, now, charisma is taken from an old Greek word, charisoma. Charisoma means to endow. Let me tell you what it means in very simple ways. It means when you are given, it becomes yours. That is, it's now yours. Whatever is a charisma belongs to you. Hallelujah. Now, how did you get it? You got it apart from works. You got it apart from the law. So, if it's a charisma, it belongs to you. Righteousness is yours. Eternal life is yours. Hallelujah. So, charisma means it is yours. That's what charisma means. So, charisma means it becomes yours. It belongs to you. It's free. That means there's no, and charisma means it's a favor. It's done to favor you. Charisma means it's done to favor. That's where you got the word charisma from. It's done to favor you. It also means it is done without finding fault. Without finding fault. That's why those people who were taught to speak in tongues after a series of battling and battles, it gives them difficulty to flow with the other gifts of the Spirit. Because of what they were taught. So, it means you were given to favor you. It was given to favor you. So, the key word is that charisma belongs to who? Charisma belongs to who? Charisma belongs to who? Come on. It belongs to who? It's yours. So, if it's yours, it is yours. It was given so that it could become yours. Righteousness is given so that it become what? Yours. So, charisma means it is. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, stir it up. Hallelujah. Alright. So, charisma means when you are given, it becomes yours. Right? That's why Paul will say, stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Hallelujah. Say, it's mine. So, now go to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are, verse 4, diversities of of what? What has been given that belongs to me? That's where we're going. What has been given to me that is now mine? So the gifts in the Spirit are ours. They are yours. So verse 5 makes sense. Now, there are diversities of what's mine, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of what? Ministries of what? Of what? Of what belongs to me, but the same Lord. Then it says, there are diversities of operations, the word energio, or energen, which means what's worked out. But the same God worketh all in all. He works the gift in the ministries. So,
Look at 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is what?
Oh, look at, you know what I'm saying? Say, is what? Given. Don't lose those words. Is what?
Given.
Given. Is not attained. It's given to who? Every man to profit with God.
The word given, the word manifested, the word phanerosis, P-H-A-N-E, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-S-I-S. It's given to every man to profit with God. Don't forget, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the one we've been reading of, 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. What does it say? Huh? He that judge loves what? Right. So say one spirit. So say one spirit. So, if it's the Spirit of God, it's our spirit. One spirit. Not Bacchus Bacchus or Incubus Succubus or Cariago spirit. He says the Spirit. One spirit with him. So, look at verse 11. You have been what? Verse 11. But you are washed? Huh? Uh-huh. By what? Hallelujah. So you're justified by? Praise God. So phanerosis means to disclose fully. To disclose fully. 2 Corinthians 4:2. 2 Corinthians 4:2. With the manifestation of the truth. Every time you see the word phanerus, it has the particular word, the truth, to make visible. Listen now. Why does Paul use that word? Because that word is taken from phaneru, P-H-A-N-E, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. Let's see where that's used. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Talking about Jesus. When he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. That means a full disclosure. A full disclosure of the Spirit. You get it? A full disclosure of the Spirit. So that means what has been given to you? Huh? A full disclosure. Not double portion of the anointing. You say, well, he has double portion, he has triple portion. I'm teaching on the anointing on Sundays, second service. I think we're making some clarity what the meaning of the word anointing. What does it mean? So we are dealing with, now pay attention to this, he says, is given to every man. So whatever we are dealing with here is only found in Christ. You will do yourself good not to look for it in the Old Testament. Whatever we're dealing with here, you will do yourself a lot good not to look for it in the Old Testament. Because obviously what we're talking about here is found where? In Christ. It's a gift of righteousness. It's still there. Now, so we are dealing with the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God was found in Christ Jesus. Now, look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 12. You know, what we're talking about here was never found in Elijah. Not Elijah. It wasn't found in Elijah. Because this is the Spirit of God in Christ. It's not found in Elijah. Hallelujah. No, not found in Elijah. Not found in Elijah, no. Look at verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. This is a very violent text, so pay attention. It says you were Gentiles. That word is for pagans. Pagans. Talking about a type of people. Let's just skip that. He says, carried away unto these dumb idols. This dumb. What do some words study? So pay attention now. The word idols here, okay, is eidolon. E-I-D-O-L-O-N. Okay? E-I-D-O-L-O-N. Now, did you notice this? You didn't pay attention to something like that. It appears like Paul's major discussions on idols was in Corinth. It seemed to be that they were mixing practices up in Corinth. Now, why am I saying this? It's very typical of Africa. Because you're going to see what I'm saying now. He says, you're carried about with these dumb idols. Now, that word heidolon has 11 usages in the New Testament Greek. Acts 7:41. They made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Acts 15:20. To keep away, the apostles wrote to believers. They wrote to Gentile believers. And you know what they told them? They said, you know what? You guys should stay away from the pollutions of idols. Now, idols. And Paul is discussing idols and the things of the Spirit. You know, he discussed idols as touching food. He discussed idols in 1 Corinthians 10 when he was talking about the bread and the Passover. So, this church grappled with those things. And it appeared, as we're going to see, it appeared that they mixed things up. Watch this. You will learn this. Romans 2:22. Quickly, just write this down. This is not Romans 2:22. Then again, 1 Corinthians. He seemed to say a lot in 1 Corinthians about idols. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He says in Corinth, among Corinthian believers, he says, in 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 4, concerning those things, or eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there's none other God but one. But though there be those that are called gods, whether in heaven or in the earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us, 1 Corinthians 8:6, there is but one God, Father of whom are all things, and in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Look at verse 7. Let's take verse 7 together. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge. For some with the conscience of the idol unto this hour eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So we have believers who have the consciousness of an idol. 1 Corinthians 10:19. And I say that the idol is anything, but that which is offered in sacrifice to an idol is anything. It seems that they mix things up. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, well, he talks about the unbeliever is called the temple of an idol. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. So, Corinth dealt with idols. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Paul's writing here. He says, For they themselves show of us that manner of entering in which we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It seemed like they battled idols among the Gentile churches. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. You know, if we were to come to Africa today, we'll find out that there are still many believers with the consciousness of African religious worship. Somebody follow what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? African religious worship. Paul is saying, he's writing to a church. He repeats it over and over again. That there's a consciousness of an idol among believers. So he 1 Corinthians 12:2. Are you learning something? 1 Corinthians 12:2. Go back there quickly. He says here, you know that you were Gentiles carried away. Pay attention here. Carried away. He says, unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, I felt dumb idols, you know, naturally I would have thought, well, dumb idols simply meant they can't talk, they can't see. No, that's not what he meant. He was very specific. Now, pay attention. That word carried away, there are two words he used. Carried away and led away. Now the word led away means to be led astray. Apago in the Greek. A-P-A-G-O. To be led astray. To take you out of your place. Led astray. And that's probably the state of many people in Africa. They were led astray. But what is the word? It says, these dumb idols. That word dumb idols, I would have thought it meant dumb idols meant they didn't say anything. But verse 3 clarifies it for you. The word dumb is the word haphonos. Now phone, P-H-O-N-E, means to say something or a language. Haphonos is alpha. Alpha is negative, right? Right? So, what does it mean? To say, look at Acts 8:32. Acts 8:32. The word aphonos is used in the prophecy about Jesus. Aphonos. Don't forget, it says you were carried away and led astray. Pay attention. If something, if what it was referring to was just an effigy, or an image, there's no way that can carry you away. So, there's something he is saying we must pay attention to. Are you following what I'm saying? Alright. So, he's saying, dumb idols. Very old English. Acts 8:32 says, the place of the scripture, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened he not his mouth. Half a nose. Then, I'll just give you two odd references. 2 Peter 2:16. He was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb has speaking, wow, with man's voice, forbid the madness of the prophet. Notice here, he's talking about Balaam. You know, the animal was saying something, but it had no meaning. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Half a nose. Okay, so Acts 8:32 seems to be like nothing was said. But this says something was said. Now, I've told you this. When you see a word used, the first place you look for its application is where? In the book. Where else did Paul use that word aphonos? Very interestingly, 1 Corinthians 14. See what he says. 1 Corinthians 14. Are you there? Are you there? Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Wow. So, what was he saying? None of them is without meaning.
So when he said, you were carried away with dumb idols, it means idols which said things that had no meaning. Are you listening? Are you listening? Which said things that had no meaning. That's why the next verse explains verse 2. For no man can say, hallelujah, or no man speaking by the Spirit of God. So how do those animals speak? Sorry, idols speak. They speak through man. Are you following this? Are you following this? No man speaking by, hallelujah, by the Spirit of God. Don't forget, what Spirit of God are we talking about? Freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. No man speaking by the Spirit of God can say or call it Jesus accursed. And no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Pay attention. How were they led astray by the idols? By what was said. Are you following this? Are you following this? So no man speaking by the Spirit of God. Now, how, when you speak by the Spirit of God, you must be speaking by the things that are freely given to us of God. So, can we say, no man speaking by the things freely given to us of God, are you there? Call it Jesus accursed. That word Jesus accursed, the word accursed, is the word anathema. A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A. It means failed. It means separated. Unable. Can't do it. No man speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus didn't do it. No man speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus can't do it. And I see, that's exactly what the idols led them astray with. Come on, are you there? No man says this. And that word anathema, see where it's used. Acts 23:14. Some guys took an oath. They separated themselves. Acts 23:14. Anathema. Acts 23:14. That was used 5 times. Acts 23:14. See what they did. They said, some guys wanted to kill Paul. The Bible says, we bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Saul. The word we bound ourselves means we separated ourselves under a great curse. We bound ourselves, we separated ourselves, we took ourselves together. Separate yourselves, Acts 23:14. Romans 9:3. I will to God, that's Paul speaking here, that I be accursed from Christ for my brethren. To be taken away from Christ. To be taken away from Christ. Pay attention. 1 Corinthians 16:22. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Let him be anathema. Anathema, maranatha. Away from Christ. Separated from Christ. Galatians 1:18. Galatians 1:8. He that preaches another gospel, Paul is speaking here, Galatians 1:8. He says, though we preach from, even though we or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you, than that which we have preached, let him be separated, accursed. That's what it means. Galatians 1:8. Let him be accursed. We for ourselves. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be separated. What is he saying? That means, let him be separated. Don't touch him. Don't receive from it. It doesn't mean that, oh, let the person die. That's not what he's talking about. Let him be separated. So watch this. So no man speaking by the Spirit of God. What's he saying? Lacks the person of Christ. Are you there? That means if you are speaking by the Spirit of God, how we know? 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 There's Jesus in there.
Praise God. There's Jesus in there. Now watch this. He says, and no man can say, hallelujah, that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, how do I know that this is by the Spirit of God? I'm going to see Jesus in it. I'm going to see Jesus in it. Pay attention now. You know, John said, the testimony of Jesus, Revelation 19:10, is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, the Spirit of God is for Jesus and His walk. Not mentioning His name. People mention His name. You know, some guy said we walk miracles and you prophesy in your name. Said, I never knew you. Remember that? Never knew you. Never knew. So, no man, why it's called the Spirit of God is because it testifies of Jesus. Not because there's signs and wonders. No. There. A man in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, he walked miracles, they called him the man of the great power of God. But he was not a Christian. So, how do we know? How do we know is the Spirit of God? It will testify of Jesus. Because the Spirit of God was given to the church to glorify Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's why if somebody comes in and he's telling you about something you did before you got saved, that's not the Spirit of God. It's true as the Spirit is working. Somebody showing him what you did, but that's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. Because whatever he said, because no man speaking by the Spirit of God, call it Jesus a curse. So this is a church grappling with those realities. Watch this now. John 16. You learning something? How do we know the Spirit of God is moving, as we say, or working? We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. John 16:13. Are you there? Let's take it together. Okay, but let's take John 16:13. Let's go. Howbeit, oh everybody, let's go. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into, for he shall not speak of himself. So you won't find him say, oh, I, the Spirit. You know, is it the Spirit? He will not speak of himself, but what he shall hear, he shall speak. He will show you things to come. Let's take 14 together. He shall glorify me, for he will receive of me, and he will show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine, and he will show it unto you. So what does the Spirit of God do? He will take the things that are freely given to us of God, and he will show it unto us. So, when a man is ministering the Spirit, he will minister the things that Jesus has done. If a man has a vision, no matter who he is, and in that vision, he sees people going to hell, or he sees Jesus judging people, in looking for their names in the book or showing them a movie, that's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. If a man points your attention, for example, pay attention now, to anointing your bed against wicked enemies in your neighborhood, that's not the Spirit of God. If a man tells you to pray, and he says he's about to pray and make people die. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of Jesus. Because the Spirit of Jesus does not minister death.
You see, so we must get sensitive not to be moved. We're not the Jews. We're not the Jews. We're not the Jews that were looking for signs and wonders. They ignored the word. But they went after miracles and miracles. You know, Jesus said it's an adulterous generation that seeks for a sign. Those that believe, they believe the word. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? So, you find out, see, is this the spirit of Jesus? There's a book, for example, a brother wrote. Is he a brother? I'm not sure. He wrote a book, Delivered from the Power of God. By Emmanuel Eni, that's too touche to call his name. And the guy wrote a book. And I asked so many people who read the book. I said, how do you feel when you read that book? He said, I'm always afraid. That's not the spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every time Jesus is mentioned, he's always fear not. Hallelujah. There's no spirit of fear in the testimony of Jesus. You read the book and he says, watch what you eat. Watch where you eat it. Watch how you eat it. That's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of God. Are you there? That's the law of sin and death. So, look at this. The Spirit of God will testify of who? The Spirit of God will testify of who? You'll find righteousness, redemption, forgiveness of sins, the love of God, walking in love. Are you there? There's no hatred in that spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God doesn't take people's pictures anointed for them to go seek. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. At all. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not ask people to lose their jobs. No. 100 times no. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God testifies of who? Testifies of who? Jesus. Glory to His name. Somehow, some of you, why are you looking somehow? There's liberty in you. Nothing makes you afraid right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have received the spirit of adoption. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God is your Father. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are too many things that we don't look at. I was in the service. And that guy told us, he said, I think I mentioned last week, he said, you, the Lord told me that before you got born again. This was what he said. I said, shut up your mouth. That's not the Spirit of God. That was 1995, 1994, 1995. I confronted him publicly. The guy was shocked. He looked at me. He said, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He said, your sins and iniquities are remembered no more. I shut his trouble. That means I cast out the devil out of him. Hallelujah. That's not the Spirit of God. Are you there? A lady, a dear lady, she told me, she's a minister in one church now. She told me she had a vision. She saw a being who looked like Jesus. I've told you, be careful of those movies that show Jesus. You put them in your house. You begin to see them in your dreams. Then you say, well, and the being told her things, warned her certain things, told her what to wear. She should remove her earrings. Now, if I approached her and told her I was in Jesus, she was going to be rebellious. This is 1994. I think, yeah, 1994. And I said to her, I said, okay, I've heard you. Now, because I had heard Brother Hagin explain that people see such false visions, I took a while. 3 months, I will never forget. To teach her who Jesus is. You'll be surprised. People are born again. You don't know who Jesus is. The 3rd month, we were sitting in the mosque. She just told me, brother, that wasn't Jesus I saw. I said, I wanted to tell you 3 months ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got the spirit of the Son. Go with this. Galatians 3:1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? Oh, foolish Galatians. Sometimes you think Africans. evil heart bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. I told you on Sunday, remember? Do you notice that? On Sunday, I said, did you notice that the New Testament is very silent on the miracles under the law? It almost doesn't talk about it. Hallelujah. You won't hear of David and Goliath. It was murder. Pure and simple. Let me say it again. It's murder. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get scared. David is not Jesus. Look at this. Praise God. Galatians 3:1. Can I go on? Well, you know I will. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Strong words. The word is baskino. B-A-S-K-I-N-O. It means to cast a spell on someone, to captivate him. Many times, signs and wonders do this. They captivate you. I was somewhere years back, and I saw someone do something. And it took people by, it captivated them. And I said, this is interesting. And as it began to speak, everybody paid attention. Hallelujah. But in Jesus' case, he worked miracles, began to speak, and they went. Are you there? Who has bewitched you? The word there means to captivate you, to hold you spellbound, to make you not be able to think. Who has bewitched you? Notice, here again, he says, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. So, pay attention here. This is done by signs, by wonders. Things that are said, things that are done. So, if someone is ministering right now, where should your focus be? On what he says. Because that's how you will know if it's the Spirit of God. You will know if it's the Spirit of God by what the person what?
Says.
Look at Luke 9. Jesus had his own disciples. His own disciples. They asked him in verse 54. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou we command fire to come down from heaven and consume? You know, you hear this a lot of times. Fire, consume. Consume them as Elisha did. You know, they have scripture and verse. This is the most legitimate ground to destroy people's lives. They have scripture and verse. Luke 9 and 54. Jesus turned and rebuked them like he's talking to demons. You know not what manner of spirit you are of. Wow. Wow. For the Son of Man, hallelujah, he's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. There are places in Nigeria, if you quote this verse, they close down the church. If you're going to spread, they close down the church. Because this is what they do. Say, the Son of Man has not come to destroy. Okay, can we say, the Spirit of God does not destroy? Would that be right? Come on. The Spirit of God doesn't destroy. The Spirit of God saves. Amen. Are you there? The Spirit of God doesn't. Now, Jesus is talking about his redemptive sacrifice. Same thing he said to Peter. Peter says, be far from you, Lord, Matthew 16:21. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. I've got to die for their sins. So the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the enemy, okay? The Spirit of the enemy rejects the work of redemption. Rejects the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. You will know a spirit, not by what is done, but by what is said. What is done can captivate. In Acts 16, they followed Paul and Silas, and said, these are the men that show us the way of salvation. Yet that wasn't the Spirit of God. Are you there? Watch this. In 1 John 4:1, John says, test every spirit. For every spirit that confesses against speaking. The Christ is not come in the flesh. He's not of God. In 2 Timothy 4, he talks about seducing spirits. Speaking lies. It's always in what? It's always in what? Speaking. You are born of the Spirit. You know if it's the Spirit of God by the message. The works of the law. Paul is speaking about the works of the law and the word of faith. Galatians 3. That means someone, pay attention, can work miracles with the works of the law. And he'll put you right there in bondage. By the works of the law. The works of the law. If you don't leak something, God won't bless you. You were sacked at work, and God says, have you been paying your tithe? That's someone speaking under the law. He's bringing you into bondage. Oh well, you fell ill. Check your life. Is there any sin in your life? That's not the Spirit of God. If Jesus were to do that in the four Gospels, nobody would have gotten healed. In fact, people just touched him. They thought they got healed, they would leave the service. Are you still there? The Spirit of God, let me ask you, does the Spirit of God walk in the works of the law? No. N-O. The Spirit of God walks with faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go this. Are you there? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Thessalonians, 2 Corinthians 3. Are you learning something? Second Corinthians 3. I'm going to go on the Concord speed. I've told Concord is not there anymore, so I just run my own speed. Are you still there? 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 6. Let's go. Let's take it together. Who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Are you there? The letter what?
Kills.
The Spirit gives life. Life. 7. For if the ministration of what?
Death.
Written and engraven in stones was glorious. So that human Israel could not successfully behold the face of Moses for the glory of the countenance, which was done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So the law is called the ministration of death. Verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Don't forget, the ministration of death also has glory. Something it will show to you. But it says no, the ministration of the Spirit, it exceeds in glory. Are they from the same Spirit? Nope, they're not. They're not. They're not. So, we have condemnation. Death. Where you have condemnation and you have death, that's not the Spirit of God. Look at verse 16. Somebody following what I'm saying here? Verse 16. Let's take verse 16 together. Nevertheless, everybody, let's go. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. 17, let's go. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is what? Do you know what liberty is? There is what? Remember, Romans 8 says the same thing. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That means bondage has a spirit. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Glory to God. Hereby cry we have a Father. So if it's the Spirit of God, it will make you say Father. Are you there? So Paul is dealing with spirits here. Spirits. Okay? Spirit of liberty. So if I'm ministering, I must minister what? The spirit of liberty. I must minister righteousness, which is a gift of God. I must minister life. The ministry of the new covenant does not minister death. It doesn't minister condemnation. It doesn't minister sickness and disease. It doesn't minister curses. That's not the New Testament. And if it's not the New Testament, it's not the Spirit of God. Should I say that one more time? If it's not the New Testament, it's not the Spirit of God. Are you there? If I will minister the Spirit, I'll minister Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 to 5, Paul says, when I came unto you, I came not in the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The excellency of speech tells you the testimony of God. My speech and my preaching, verse 4, was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, pay attention, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why did he say that? 1 Corinthians 2:4. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand where? In the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Pay attention to this. In the wisdom of man. Now he says, the princes of this world. Listen now, listen now, listen now. Now quickly go to verse 12. Verse 12. Verse 12. Read verse 12. That means there's something called the spirit of this world. Are you following me? Are you following me? Now, when the spirit of this world is ministering, your faith will be in the wisdom of man, not in the power of God. Now, the power of God, pay attention here. The power of God in 1 Corinthians 1 refers to Christ crucified, the wisdom and the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 20. Power of God is to speak about Jesus and his work for us. Are you there? If it's the power of God, Christ will be made unto us the wisdom of God, sanctification, righteousness. If it's the power of God, it will talk about Jesus. That's why be careful of people that talk about the Spirit. The Spirit speaks about Jesus. Oh, the Spirit. The Spirit of God is here. Oh, the Spirit. The Spirit says, don't grieve me. If you grieve me, I will go. Where is that? Where is that in your Bible? Anything that if you grieve the Spirit will go, is not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said to you that I will give you another comforter, he will abide with you forever. You can't have the Spirit of God tell you, I'm gone. Where are you? I'm at the gate, I'm gone. That's not the Spirit of God. He said the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Paul says, I came not in the enticing words of man's wisdom. That word there is paithios in the Greek. Just used once by Paul. And I wondered why. P-E-I-T-H-U-S. It means to make believe. A skillful enticement. To make you believe. Something that just turns your mind, turns your attention, paints pictures for you to believe. Paithios. To make believe. He says, but that's not the Spirit of God. The key to know the Spirit of God is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. I saw a movie by someone. And then they said, the fellow, it's a movie by a popular music movie ministry. And then the fellow, he was supposed to have rejected the gospel. So he now said, I'm sorry, I want to accept Jesus. And in that movie, now when I watched that movie, I mean, I was just growing in the Word. I'm still growing in the Word. And the guy said, no, time is up. You can't accept again. I said, this is crap. If it wasn't for the fact of my father's television, how I'd have broken the television. Are you crazy? Jesus is too excited to get someone saved. How in the world? He saw someone who had never been to membership class. Never been to Living Word Media. He's on the cross. The guy's on the tree. He's a criminal. We don't know what he did. And he says, today you will be with me. And you tell me, someone says, I want to be saved. He says, oh, no way. I gave a last chance yesterday. Oh, boy, you were. You are in the Spirit. Yes! Because Jesus wants to say, you must reject such spirits and their influence in the body of Christ. If Jesus could, he would go to hell and get men saved. Why would someone die? And then he'll say, well, anything goes. No. know he wants to save. Praise God. He wants to save in Saudi Arabia. He wants to save the Muslim who is bowing down. He wants to get the word across to him. He doesn't need a long theology. Just Jesus. Hallelujah. And the guy is saved. Hallelujah. Look at this quickly. Matthew 21. Jesus beats every kind of standard people gave him. He wants everybody saved. Hallelujah. Matthew 21. Jesus beats everyone's imagination. I'll go to John 8 next week. I want to teach John 8 this week. There's someone who should listen to John 8. The woman who, by the law of Moses, should have been stoned to death. You know, Jesus did not ask her what exactly happened. I need to know the details. You know, some of us are so excited when people say, I've done this. Say, tell me the details. Yeah, just, what do you want to know it for? That one requires 7-day fasting. He just said, where are your accusers? I'm telling you, if it were today, Jesus would be called names. Is this really Jesus? No, this cannot be my Jesus. He says, woman? Did he say, pig? He called her woman. He said, adulterer? He said, woman, where are your accusers? Huh? What? Accuser? Did he accuse me? I did it. No, they are your accusers. Oh my God. Wait till next week. Here we go. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 31. Verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, you need to tear this part of the Bible out, man. This is crazy. You know, it says, he calls them harlots. Words that should not come out of the mouth of God. He calls them harlots. Sorry? This must be an extra biblical piece. He calls them harlots. Why? He says, for John, watch this one. Look at the word publicans. The publicans is the word tax collector. That's what they're called. Tax collectors. They are guys that are known. Let me just tell you what they are. They are known, historically, they are known for being harsh, deceitful, greedy folks. You know, today's terrible folks who like money. 21 times they use, they're called publicans. Harsh and greedy people. That's what they are. Matthew was one of them. Interestingly, was his disciple. In Luke 18, there was a publican who was standing in the temple, and then you had the Pharisee. In the religious mind, the Pharisee is supposed to be the big man of God. And the Pharisee does what many people do. Well, Lord, I fast twice a week. You see what I'm talking about? He's fasting, so he seems double. I fast twice a week. I'm not like this person, because oftentimes we try to compare ourselves. I'm not like that fellow. And the other guy says, I cannot even look at you. Have mercy on me. The word hilaskomai. Give me a sacrifice, something that will stand in my behalf. And Jesus says, this man goes more exalted than this other fellow. I said, why? How? He just telling you what. He never said, he didn't say the Pharisee lied. He didn't lie. He didn't lie. He was just the works of the law. This was faith. Faith, is it? And so here he goes. He says, the tax collectors, the greedy people, he says what? He says, they will, watch this now, they will enter before you. That's about, they'll get late. Why? The word alot is the word porne. P-O-R-N-E. It's taken from pornemi. P-O-R-N-E-M-I. It means to sell yourself for sex. It was a profession in their day. We'll see it later. It was a profession in the day. To sell for sex. It wasn't like, the alots were not, they weren't stoned. Depending on what kind of alot, I'll explain that next week. Can I do a series on alot? That'll be crazy. Anyway. So, the word alot, pay attention, is used, interestingly, in scripture in also tremendous ways. You can't imagine this.
that in Hebrews 11:31, an harlot called Rahab was called a person of faith. The good part was she was still called an harlot. That gets me crazy. James 2:25. Even James calls an harlot. And James, we're going to see this later. And James says that look at our faith. And the two times they are mentioned, they said they believed. They believed. They believed. They believed. Faith is a game changer. Faith is it. Faith is it. Not the works. I thought in my books, the Pharisee should qualify. In my books, the guy who fasts 180 days should qualify. In my books, you know, they know. In our books, the man who has faith in me is the one who qualifies. So the harlot will go in first. You hear what I'm saying? The harlot will go in first. I'll take it one more time. The harlot will go in first. Why? Because the harlot has believed. The next verse, Matthew 21, says the harlot is the one who believes. No, he's not going in because she's not going because she's an harlot. So like, if you want to be born again, be an harlot. That's not what he's saying. Alright? So John came unto you in the way of righteousness and you believed him not. What was John's message? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. The publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you have seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe. So what is he talking about? Faith is it. Faith is it. How is righteousness given? Righteousness is given by faith. And let me ask you, when that harlot believes the gospel, the harlot has the manifestation of the Spirit. The harlot has the charisma of the Spirit. Are you sure? Come on, are you there? That's what the harlot has. Hey, you know, the point is this. The Pharisee will slave, will fast, will do all those things for the things of the Spirit. But the harlot just believes. And he has righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm closing now. Look at Acts 12. And one of the reasons for this, that after Jesus rose from the dead, we still had a man called Peter who ministered same way as they did in the Old Testament. Ananias and Sapphira. Here's Peter. Did Peter minister by the Spirit of God? Of course not. He did not. The Spirit of God does not minister death. This was a young church. If you look at Acts of the Apostles well, you know that they practiced the law until Acts 15. Till Acts 15. They still believed to be saved, you had to have circumcision. So there were two things working. There was a law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and then there was a law of sin and death. You see, Peter ministered the same way. He plainly said to them, Acts 5, he ministered fear. Why has Satan filled your heart? To lie to the Holy Ghost. Hey, they didn't lie to the Holy Ghost. There's nothing called lying to the Holy Ghost in the entire Bible. What's lying to the Holy Ghost? There's resisting the Holy Ghost. But lying to the Holy Ghost. What does it mean? To lie to someone will mean to say what's not true to the person. Let's not flog the issue. This was just an overboard. This was the law of sin and death. Just like the law, he created a sin here. What's the sin called lying to the Holy Ghost? Where's he found? Did he lie? Did Peter lie? Did he die? Come on, talk to me. Did Peter lie? Did he die? Look at this. And get back. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. What's the meaning of that? He lied to men. And Ananias heard these things, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard this. This is not the fear of God. This is exactly how Moses and them used to minister. Show you the traces of the Old Testament. They were still going to pray in the house, in the hour of prayer. At this point, they had not even believed the Gentiles could receive the gospel. That exclusivity was still there. That harshness of the law was there. Present in there.
Look at verse 7. After 7 hours, nobody told the wife. But for this little Latoda, they have been on Facebook. Verse 8. Peter answered and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Why was he eager to ask again? She said, yes, for so much. Said, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? This is not the Spirit of God. Watch this. Behold, the feet of them that buried your husband are at the door, they shall carry you. But then, let me ask you, is this the Spirit of God? No. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of God. And then, here the wife dies too. You know, by Acts 15, look at Acts 15. Don't be people's specimen. There are people now embracing the grace message, New Testament. But exploits have happened. Selah. Acts 15. Peter now stands up against the law. And he says, verse 8. God witness the heart, Acts 15. Bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. I put no difference between us, we find their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Look at what he now says. To put a yoke upon the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Can you imagine? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved even as they. Ha! After 10 chapters. Peter changed here. This is not the Peter of Acts 5. Are we together? It's not the same. This is the Peter who argued. He couldn't go to the house of Cornelius. Except God told him. So I can't eat. Yeah, he's arguing. Yeah, I can't eat what is common. I can't. So whatever I have cleansed, do not call common. Don't call it common. What is he talking about? By Acts 10, he's coming to terms with what Jesus did. So when you find traces of the law mixed with faith in Christ, you will see the same things they saw in the Old Testament. You'll find people dying because they did something. Someone's life is wrecked. That's not the Spirit of God. You'll find out by the time you get to the epistles, they were all mild. They didn't sound like that anymore. Why? Because they're growing spiritually. Are you there? Did he have a word of knowledge? He did. Did he minister to them by the Spirit of God? No, he did not. Hallelujah. I told you on Sunday, Jesus gave power to the 12 to go and minister. So they had power. By the Spirit of God, they had power. When they went to minister, they yielded to another spirit. They wanted fire to come down and destroy. Peter, the same Peter in Matthew 10, Matthew 16, he had the Spirit of God, revelation of Jesus. A few verses after, he yielded to Satan. The New Testament ministry glorifies Jesus. It preaches Him, speaks of Him, ministers life. Hallelujah. Ministers salvation, ministers righteousness, ministers preservation, and ministers faith to the hearers. We'll continue next week. Hallelujah. May you bless. Lift your hands toward heaven. Bless Jesus. We worship Him. There's liberty today. Praise God. And as you preach the gospel, hear this before you close. As you preach the gospel, anywhere you are, remember that you're a minister of the Spirit of liberty. Remember, you did not minister the law of sin and death. Remember, you didn't minister condemnation, you minister righteousness. Remember, you didn't minister fear, you minister faith. Hallelujah. That's what we have. Hallelujah. We minister the power of God. We minister what Jesus Christ has done. For no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, call it Jesus a curse. No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We glorify Jesus. We glorify Jesus. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Whatever vestiges of the spirit of bondage is in your heart that's causing fear is gone. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, you are walking in the liberty of the sons of God. You are ministering the same thing and you are receiving the same thing. There's no fear in our hearts. There's no fear in our spirit. What we have is the liberty of the sons of God. There's life all through. He came that we might have life. He didn't come that we might have death. He came that we might have life. The Son of Man has not come to the world to condemn the world, but of the world through him by the saved. Worship him. Worship him. This is the spirit of God. Because you don't know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Charisma music is yes. Charisma music is yes. Charisma music is yes. Righteousness is yes. The grace of God is yes. The life of God is yes. The Spirit of God is yes. The gifts are yes. Worship him. Give all the praise.